You okay, Buki?
I look away from the window and over at my mom. Why you ask? It's Tuesday, and she just picked me up from ACT prep to go see Aunt Pooh.
Because that's my third time asking if you're okay, and this is only the first time you've heard me. You've been so quiet.
Oh, sorry. Nothing to apologize for. Something on your mind? More than I'd like. I recorded that song for Supreme and them. They loved it. I hated it. James still wasn't fully sold, though. Said he wants to see me perform it and see how people react to it. I really am just something to entertain them. Supreme's all in, though. Said he's gonna set it up so I can premiere the song in a live performance at the Ring. He's booking it for next Thursday. James claims that if I knock it out of the park, a big contract is as good as mine. It doesn't feel like it'll be mine, though. Not when I'm saying somebody else's words and fitting somebody else's image just to get it. I don't know how to tell Jay about it. It could go two ways. She'll either A, be pissed that I've kept all this from her, or B, be ready to handle Supreme. Of course, because I'm still a minor, I can't sign anything without her permission. But I got myself into this, and I gotta figure it out. I sit up some more. It's nothing, just school stuff. Well, whatever it is, you can tell me. You know I always got you. I know, I say. I got you too. We pull into the parking lot of this tall brick building that seems like it's been around since before my grandparents were born. It would look like a regular building, honestly, but there's a barbed wire fence around the back. We leave our phones, watches, and anything else that could set off the metal detector in the car. Jay only takes her keys and ID. This is the routine we've always followed whenever we've visited Aunt Pooh in jail. It helps us see her quicker. There's a guy sitting on the curb near the entrance. His head rests between his knees, making it hard to see his face. But his hair is half braided, half afro. If I didn't know any better. Scrap? I say. He looks up. It's Scrap, all right. Boy! Jay outstretches her arms. Scrap walks into them. I thought they got you too.
Nah, I wasn't there when it happened, but everybody else
is locked up. Word is, most of the Maple Grove Garden disciples got busted. Jay frames his face with her hands like he's a little boy. I guess when you've known someone their entire life, you can still see them that way. Pooh and Scrap have been running together since diaper days. Well, I'm glad you're okay. You're here to see P, huh?
Yeah, she asked me to come when y'all came. Hope that's all right.
Of course it is. You're family. Jay takes his hand. Come on. Scrap follows her inside. Something's off about him. I can't put my finger on it. He doesn't walk. He marches. His jaw ticks. His face is tight. It's like he's a bubble. One wrong move and he'll burst at any second. Pink and red streamers and a little Valentine's Day banner decorate the sign-in desk. But if you're coming in here to visit somebody, it's hard to celebrate any holiday. Curtis brought me a little bouquet of candy bars to school today. I gotta admit, it did make the day a little better. Boys got more game than I thought. Jay gives the lady at the sign-in desk Aunt Pooh's real name, Catricia Bordeaux. It's always weird hearing it. She's been Pooh my whole life. We fill out paperwork and go through security before we're led to this small gray room. There are no windows, so no sunlight. Just stark, bright lights that you see long after closing your eyes. A guard tells us to sit at the table and wait. Scrap drums the table the whole time. After about 20 minutes, one of the guards brings Aunt Pooh in. Jay hugs her the moment she can. Aunt Pooh and Scrap do their little handshake. Then Aunt Pooh looks at me. I didn't know that I'd want to cry when I'd see her, but I swear I almost do. She holds her arms out, and I let her wrap me up in the biggest, tightest hug I didn't know I needed. She kisses the side of my head.
Missed you, little bit.
I missed you, too, I murmur into her shoulder. The four of us sit at the table. Aunt Pooh has to sit across from us, though. Jail rules. It's supposed to be so we won't slip her any contraband, but it always feels like they're saying she's diseased or something. Jail seems isolating as hell, even when people visit you. I talked to your attorney this morning, says Jay. It's one of those court-appointed ones. He thinks they'll have you arraigned early next week.
Good, says Aunt Pooh. Sooner I can get out of here, sooner me and Bree can get our come up.
She holds her palm out to me across the table with a grin. I slap it.
I heard about your interview. I promise I can handle that fool for you once I'm out. No question.
Jay glances back and forth between us. What interview? What fool? This definitely isn't how I wanted her to find out. My leg suddenly won't stay still.
The DJ Hype interview, you know,
Pooh says. Jay turns all the way toward me. No, I don't know. I stare straight ahead. If you look an angry black mama in her eyes, there's a chance you will turn into a pillar of salt on the spot, like old girl in the Bible.
Yeah, Bree went on his show, Aunt Pooh snitches. He riled her up, apparently. Accused her of not writing her shit. All kinds of nonsense. I heard you went straight off, Bree.
Aunt Pooh laughs into her fist.
Got folks in here even talking.
I can feel Jay's glare.
It's bad. Oh, it's bad.
I stare at the wall. Somebody carved, D was here, into the cinder block, and I don't know what's worse, the fact that they were bragging about being here, or that they can't spell was. Didn't I tell you to lay low, Bree? Jay says.
It's all good, Jada. Aunt Pooh says, don't blame her. This on hype.
She looks at Scrap.
How that other thing going? They eating this shit up, he bites out. We gotta handle them.
Handle who? I ask. That's what I want to know, Jay adds.
It's them crown bitches,
Scrap hisses.
They think it's funny that most of the Maple Grove GDs got taken down. Now they moving in our territory and shit, even bragging about how they took Law's chain from Bree, flaunting it around. Oh, hell nah,
Aunt Pooh says. The same words go through my head, but for an entirely different reason. Once again, this is not how I wanted my mom to find out. She turns to me. How in the world did they get your dad's chain? It's a question, not an accusation. But honestly, it should be an accusation. I should have done more to keep that safety net for us. I swallow. They robbed me, I swear. I didn't want to give it up, but...
Robbed?
She shrieks. Oh, my God, Brianna! Why didn't you tell me?
Oh, don't worry. I already sent a message to bitch-ass that did it. Just didn't get the chain back,
Aunt Pooh says.
We're working on that, though.
She eyes Scrap, and he nods. Jay looks from him to her.
What? I got some new little homies running with me now, says Scrap. They down for whatever. Bree just gotta give the word. Facts,
says Aunt Pooh, slapping his palm. It feels like a boulder just dropped into my stomach. It's on me to give the word?
They took it from you, Aunt Pooh says. I mean, hell yeah, we down for whatever to get one over on them fools. But this your call. Ultimately.
How the hell do I suddenly have an entire gang at my disposal? Jay closes her eyes and puts her hands up. Wait. Are y'all saying what I think y'all are saying?
It's war,
Aunt Pooh says, as if it's nothing.
Word is some of them snitched on us in the first place. That's why the cops was watching. Now they trying to move in on our shit, clowning us, and got the nerve to brag about robbing my niece? Nah, it's whatever now.
We've started a gang war. People may lose their lives because of us. Shit, what if it comes back at me? I don't know how long it's quiet, but it is for a while. Jay stares at Aunt Pooh with her mouth slightly open. Wow, she says. Wow, wow, wow.
Jay, you gotta understand, says Aunt Pooh. This about respect. We can't let them fools think they won.
My mom's eyes glisten. They haven't won, but you're so lost that you've lost.
What?
You're in jail, Catricia, Jay says. Jail! Yet you're sitting here plotting some of that same street mess that landed you here in the first place. You don't care that this has been hell for your family. You aren't showing any remorse. You're plotting!
Jada, they took Law's chain, Aunt Pooh says. They bragging about pointing a gun in your baby's face. They laughing about me being in here. I'm supposed to let that go?
Yes, Jay says. I don't give a damn about that chain. Bree is okay, and that's all that matters to me.
This bigger than that, though, Scrap says. We can't let them get away with this shit.
Actually, you can. Jay looks at Aunt Pooh again. You know what? I'm starting to realize that maybe you need to stay in here.
What? You're not gonna bail me out?
With what? Jay bellows. What? You got some money stashed somewhere, huh? Please tell me if you do. Maybe I can use it to pay some of my goddamn bills.
Look, I got it all figured out, aight? You can get a loan. Use that to pay my bail and pay for a better attorney who will clear me of these charges. I'll pay you back
by doing the same stuff that put you in here in the first place, Jay yells. She puts her hands together and holds them at her mouth. I've cried over you, she says thickly, but I don't think you've cried over yourself. And that's the problem.
Jay, come on, please.
Her voice cracks.
If they get me for this, I'm going to prison. I can't go to prison.
I don't want you to go, Jay says. I don't want you in the system, Catricia. Hell, I've been telling you for years that it's built to keep you in it, but you gotta get the streets out of you somehow. Maybe this is it. She stands and holds her hand out to me. Come on, Brianna.
Bree, Aunt Pooh pleads. Bree, come on. Tell her I'm gonna change.
I can't say what I don't know. Brianna, let's go, Jay repeats.
Bree, tell her.
Stop using my child as your cover. It's not on her to fix you, Catricia. It's on you. Aunt Pooh's jaw hardens. She straightens up, lifts her chin, and narrows her eyes.
So it's like that. You left me to fend for myself when you got hooked on that shit. And now you're leaving me to fend for myself again, huh?
It's a punch in my gut, and she's not even talking about me. How can you say that? This isn't on... Jay puts her hand up to cut me off. She looks solely at Pooh. You know what? I'm so sorry for abandoning you. It's one of the biggest mistakes of my life. But there's only so long you can blame what you've been through for what you do. At some point, you gotta blame yourself. She grabs my hand and takes me with her. I look back at Aunt Pooh. Her face is hard, but her lips tremble. I've got a feeling it's the last time I'll see her for a long time. The clouds seem darker than they were when we first got here. Or I'm just imagining it. There's no way the sky is mourning my aunt, too. In the driver's seat, Jay wipes her eyes. Her tears started the moment we walked out of the building. I bite my lip. You're really not gonna try to bail her out? I'm not getting a loan to pay her bail when we have bills, Bree. And I'm especially not doing that for somebody who's just gonna be up to the same old mess in no time. She can change, though, I damn near plead. I know she can. I know it too, Bree. But she's gotta know it. She has to decide that enough is enough. We can't do it for her. What if she never gets there? Jay holds her hand out. I put mine in it. You have to prepare yourself for that possibility, baby. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want to lose her, I croak. I don't either, she says roughly. God knows I don't. We can love her with everything in us, but it doesn't matter if she doesn't love herself. She's sitting in there more worried about a chain than about her own well-being. I stare down at my chest where the pendant used to be. I'm sorry they took it. You don't need to apologize for that, baby, Jay says. But girl, what in the world is going on with you? First it was the song, and I found out about that from a TV report. Now this chain and the hype interview? What else are you hiding, Brianna? Huh? There is a superpower that black mamas possess. They can somehow go from being gentle to firm in a matter of seconds. Hell, sometimes in the same sentence. My mouth is dry, all of a sudden. What else? I stare at my Timbs. Supreme. What about Supreme? And those shoes didn't give birth to you. Look at me when I'm talking to you. I make my eyes meet hers. He's got a big record deal in the works for me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why would he have a record deal for you? He's not your manager. But he is. I hired him. Oh, you hired him, she says with this fake lightness that scares me. My bad, I must have missed the memo that you grown. Last time I checked, you were 16 years old, Brianna. 16. I was gonna tell you, I swear. I was just trying to get everything into place first. This was my way of saving us. It's not on you to save us. She closes her eyes. God, I'm not doing my job. Oh, crap. I never meant for her to blame herself. It's not like that. It must be. For you to be out here pulling stunts like this to help us, that means I'm not doing enough. But you are. My voice cracks. You and Trey try so hard. I just wanted to make things easier, but I'm making it worse for myself. People are saying all kinds of stuff about me after that interview. Jay takes a deep breath. I got you, huh? She's gentle again. Unfortunately, I acted a fool. Supreme's eating it up, though. The record exec, too. They think it's great that people think I'm a ratchet hood rat. Supreme calls it a role. I'm not surprised. Supreme's always been money hungry. That's where he and your daddy clashed. Let me guess, he baited you, didn't he? Threw something expensive at you, so you'd want to hire him. I stare at the boots. Yep. He bought me these Timbs. Wait, those aren't the boots I bought you from the swap meet?
No. Those came apart.
What? Why didn't you tell me?
I fumble with my fingers.
Because I didn't want you to feel bad, like you probably do right now.
She sighs.
Lord, you should have told me, Bree. You should have told me all of this. I could have kept you out of so much mess. Instead, you lied to me.
Wait, I didn't lie.
Omitting the truth is lying, Bree, she says. Plus, at some point, you flat out lied. You've been sneaking around to meet with Supreme. That requires a lie.
Damn, she's right.
I'm sorry.
Jay kisses her teeth.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
Especially since this is about to come to a halt. All of this little rap stuff of yours, it's over.
What? No! This could be my shot at making it.
Didn't you just say that people are making assumptions about you? She asks.
You want to keep going, knowing that?
I just want to make it. I'm loud. I'm rough. But I'm also desperate. Feels like hours pass as my mom quietly stares at me.
Brianna, she says, do you know what your aunt's biggest problem is?
I look at the jailhouse.
That's kind of obvious at the moment.
She's locked up.
No, that's not even her biggest problem, says Jay.
Pooh doesn't know who she is. And by not knowing who she is, she doesn't know her worth.
So, who are you?
What?
Who are you? She repeats. Of the millions and billions of people in the world, you're the only person who can answer that. Not people online or at your school. I can't even answer that. I can say who I think you are.
She cups my cheek. And I think you're brilliant, talented, courageous, beautiful.
You're my miracle. But you're the only one who can say who you are with authority.
So, who are you?
I can't find the words. My mom leans over and kisses my forehead.
Work on figuring it out. I think it'll give you more answers than you realize.
She cranks up the Jeep. Before she can back out of the parking spot, her phone rings.
Baby, get that for me, please.
Okay, I say, and fish through her purse. It takes a second. My mom keeps her purse full of just-in-case stuff, like Kleenex, gum, a pocket knife. She's ready for whatever. I grab her phone, but I don't recognize the number. I don't know who this is.
Answer it like you've got some sense then.
I roll my eyes. I know what she means. Talk all proper, but damn. Act like I have some sense makes it seem as if I have none. Hello?
Hi, is Mrs. Jada Jackson available?
A man asks. That voice is familiar, I think. It could be a bill collector for all I know, and they always get the dial tone. May I ask who's calling?
Yes, this is Superintendent Cook.
The phone falls from my hand.
Brianna! Jay scolds through her teeth. I know damn well you didn't drop my phone. Give it here.
I scoop it up from the floor. She snatches it. Hello? Who is this?
Dr. Cook responds, and the car slightly swerves. She almost dropped the phone, too.
I'm so sorry, Dr. Cook, Jay says, and cuts me a glare. My daughter can be reckless.
Why she gotta throw me under the bus, though?
Dr. Cook starts talking, and my mom pulls over to the side of the road. I can't make out what he's saying for the life of me. Jay just goes, uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
Over and over again.
Well,
I whisper, but she swats in my direction to shut me up. After an eternity, she says, "Thank you so much, sir. I will see you next week." My eyes widen. The moment she hangs up, I'm like, "You got the job?" An interview. But it's an interview with a background check and fingerprints. I'm missing something here. What's so good about that? "It means that they are seriously considering hiring me," she says. "So you..." This feels so surreal that it's hard to speak. "You may have a job. Nothing's guaranteed, but based on what Dr. Cook just said," she smiles, "I may have a job." 32. Saturday morning, I get a weird text from Sunny. "Meet me at Oak Park ASAP." Oak Park is a couple of blocks away from my grandparents' house. Trey used to take me there almost every weekend when I was younger. It's where I saw Jay strung out that time. It's also where Sonny spray-painted his rainbow fist piece. It's on the side of the restrooms near the empty community pool. Granddaddy says the city used to open it up every summer. They've never done that in my lifetime. I look around twice as I cross the park. I've still got the crowns to think about. I've been ducking and hiding anytime I spot a gray car in the neighborhood. Sonny's and Malik's bikes are propped up against the back of the restroom wall. Should have known Malik would be here too. Sonny paces in the dirt so much a small dust tornado is swirling near his feet. Malik says something, but it doesn't slow Sonny down. I hop off my bike and walk it over to them. "Hey, what's up?"
"He's on his way," Sonny says.
"Who?"
"Rapid. Why else would I have y'all meet me here?"
"Oh, I thought you needed my help hiding a body or something."
Sonny's lips thin. "And I'm the disturbing one?"
Malik glances at his phone.
"What time did he say he'd be here?"
Sonny takes a peek at his phone, too.
10 on the dot. "He told me to look out for a black Benz."
"Damn, a Benz?" I say. "At 16? Somebody's got money." I rub my fingers together.
"Or he's really a 50-year-old man,"
Malik just has to add.
The horror that appears on Sonny's face.
"Not funny,"
Malik and I snicker. This is the closest we've come to speaking to each other in a while.
"My bad, my bad,"
Malik says, and takes Sonny's shoulder.
"Look, son, this is gonna work out, all right? You gotta believe that. If this guy isn't who he says he is, it's his loss, not yours, okay?"
Sonny slowly exhales.
"Okay."
"Good."
Malik straightens out Sonny's collar. He wore one of his nice polo shirts today. I run my fingers along his curls to fix them.
"No matter what happens, we're here,"
Malik reminds him. 100%. I add. Sonny smiles.
"I'm glad y'all came."
A black Mercedes turns into the parking lot.
"Take y'all asses and hide!"
Sonny switches on us with the quickness. I look him up and down. "Excuse you?"
"Hide!"
He turns us both toward a tree.
I don't want him knowing I didn't trust him enough to not bring backup.
"But you didn't trust him enough,"
Malik says.
"Not the point. Go."
We stumble behind a large oak tree that's big enough to hide us both. A car door closes. I peer around the tree trunk. A brown-skinned boy crosses the park. His short hair has zigzags cut into it, and a cross pendant dangles from his neck. It's Miles. Supreme's son, the rapper with that annoying song, Miles. "Holy shit," I mutter.
"Holy shit,"
Malik echoes me. I can see the holy shit all over Sonny's face, too. Miles holds the back of his neck and looks at Sonny sheepishly.
I definitely wasn't expecting this, Malik says.
I guess he's talking to me again.
Yeah,
me either.
What do you think they're saying?
I tilt my head. Sonny's eyes are super wide, like a cartoon's. I smirk. I don't know what Sonny's saying, but he's definitely thinking, what the hell?
Ha, probably right.
Malik says in his best Sonny voice,
have I really been talking to a guy who thinks swaggerific is a word?
I laugh.
Am I gonna have to tell him that I hate his song?
My imitation of Sonny is not as good as Malik's, but it makes him chuckle.
I don't know if this is gonna go well.
Or maybe it will. They're smiling as they look into each other's eyes.
Oh, wow, says Malik.
I still got hands ready, though, if Miles hurts him somehow, I say.
For real,
Malik agrees.
I've missed you, Breezy.
I turn around.
As a friend,
he clarifies,
I miss talking to you.
And whose fault is it that we haven't been talking?
Yours,
he says. My mouth drops. How?
Bree, come on, you gotta know why I was pissed at you. The night of the robbery, you were more concerned about that chain than about me, your friend, who got a black eye. I was supposed to be cool with that? Then you basically asked me to lie to my mom so you and Pooh could do some dirt.
Okay, yeah, he has a point. I just wanted the chain back, Malik. It was my family's safety net. I figured we could pawn it if things got worse.
See, that's the problem. Lately, you only care about money. Money isn't everything, Bree.
That's so easy for you to say. I know your mom works hard and that y'all aren't rich, but you've got it better than me. We didn't have lights for a while, Malik. We've barely had food some days. You aren't worried about stuff like that. I am. My freaking shoes fell apart, bruh. You're standing here in Jordans. He glances down at his kicks and bites his lip.
Yeah, I guess I understand.
No, you don't, I say. It's okay that you don't. I'm glad you don't. But I need you to try to.
It's been rough, huh?
I swallow. Real. Silence.
I'm sorry I haven't been there for you,
he says.
I'm also sorry for making a move on you. It was foul, for a lot of reasons.
I nod. It was.
Wow. No, don't be so hard on yourself, Malik.
Hell no. It was a fuckboy move.
Typical Bree.
Malik stuffs his hands in his pockets.
Things are so different than they used to be. We're different. Hard to figure all of this out sometimes, you know? But do you think we can figure out how to be different and still be friends?
I'd like to say that 10, 20, 30 years from now, me, Sonny, and Malik will be as tight as we've always been. But that could be a lie. We're changing in different ways, and we'll keep changing. Yet I'd like to think that we care enough to get to know whoever we become. Hey, maybe someday Malik and I will have something beyond friendship. Right now, I simply want my friend back. Yeah, I tell him. I think we can still be friends. He smiles.
Good, because when you get that Grammy, I expect to get a shout out along with an invitation to all of the after parties.
I roll my eyes. Opportunist. He hooks his arm around my neck.
Nah, just one of your biggest cheerleaders.
Sonny and Miles make their way over to us. They're so close that their hands brush.
Guys, this is Miles, without a Z, Sonny says.
Miles, this is Malik and Bree, my best friends slash potential bodyguards.
You've met Bree, though.
Yeah, when you said that bullshit about her dad in the ring,
Malik points out. Oh, we're definitely good again, because here Malika is going in on somebody on my behalf. I missed having him in my corner. Miles shifts his weight from foot to foot.
My bad. I apologized to Bree, if that helps. I was only saying what my dad wanted me to say.
Sonny cocks his eyebrows.
Your dad wanted you to be an asshole? Basically, it's part of who Miles with a Z is. But that's his creation. It's not me.
Not surprised. Supreme seems to be all about creating people. Does he know you're...
gay? Yeah. He knows. He chooses to ignore it.
Malik tilts his head, and because he's Malik, he goes for it.
Your dad makes you pretend to be straight?
Malik! I hiss. Good Lord. You can't ask people stuff like that.
Why not? He hinted at it. That wasn't a hint. He does make me pretend to be straight,
Miles says.
Miles with a Z is supposed to be the teen heartthrob all the girls love, and one of Dad's next cash cows.
He looks at me as he says it. I'm the other one.
Nobody can know that Miles with an S hates rapping, prefers photography, and is completely 100% gay.
Why'd you show up here then?
Sonny asks him. Miles twists his foot behind him.
Because, for once, I decided to do what I want to do. I wanted to finally meet the guy who keeps me up every night, talking about everything and nothing. Who makes me smile a hell of a lot, even though I didn't know how cute he was until now.
Sonny blushes so hard.
Oh. I'm done being who my dad wants me to be.
Miles says,
it's not worth it.
Does he mean what I think he means? You're giving up your rap career? Miles slowly nods.
Yeah, I am. Besides, is it really mine if I'm not being myself?
33. I'm still thinking about what Miles said yesterday when we arrive at Christ Temple. I guess the prospect of a job gave my mom the courage to come today and face the gossip. This is the first Sunday we've been here in a while, and the only thing church folks love more than talking about people is talking about people who haven't been to church. Whatever. Trey holds Kayla's hand as he follows me and Jay across the gravel parking lot next to the church. Earlier, he introduced Kayla to Jay as his girlfriend. They must be pretty serious if he invited her to church. Church where everybody is going to talk about him bringing a girl to church. That's major. Seems like half the congregation fills the foyer. Jay wears a bigger smile than usual as we make our rounds, greeting folks. It's an unspoken rule that when you've been gone, you have to speak to everybody. Well, my mom and my brother do. I stand here trying to keep my facial expressions in check. Pastor Eldridge's wife hugs us and says that we've been gone so long she almost forgot what we look like. I only side-eye her a little bit. Sister Barnes tries me, though. Jay tells her good morning, and Sister Barnes responds with, "Y'all been too busy for the Lord?" I open my mouth, but before I can tell her to kiss our asses, Jay moves close to me. So close that nobody notices how hard she pinches my arm. "Brianna, why don't you go have a seat?" she tells me, which is mom at church speak for, "Girl, you better go somewhere before I whoop your behind." I'd much rather sit in the corner anyway. I plop down in one of the high back chairs under the portrait of Pastor Eldridge. On one hand, I don't get why my mom is taking all of this shade from people. But on the other, she must be in a really good headspace if she's willing to take it. Sister Daniels comes into the foyer in a floral dress with a matching hat that's big enough to block the sun. Curtis holds the door open for her. I sit up a little. My edges? Laid and slayed. Jay French braided my hair last night, and I put my silk bonnet on extra tight to keep everything in check. This dress and these wedge heels, super cute. But the way Curtis's eyes light up when he sees me, I don't think I needed any of it. He moves around people and makes his way over to me, giving quick hellos and polite nods along the way.
Hey, Bree, he says, the smile all on his face and in his voice. Here I go, cheesing. Hey.
Curtis sits on the arm of the chair and checks me out.
I know I ain't supposed to cuss in church, but damn, girl, you looking kind of fine today.
You're not so bad yourself, I say. Most Sundays, he shows up in a polo and dress pants. Today, he put on a suit and tie. Curtis adjusts the tie a bit.
Thanks. I was scared I was going to look like I should be giving the sermon. Glad you like it, since I did this for you.
You don't need to.
Oh, so I'm sexy without it?
Curtis wiggles his eyebrows. I laugh. Bye, Curtis.
You can't admit it. Don't be scared, he says. So, this date of ours, we never figured out the details. I was thinking we could leave campus one day this week and go somewhere around Midtown for lunch.
I get this weird feeling that somebody's watching us. I glance around. Somebody's watching, all right. My mom and my brother are near the sanctuary door, paying more attention to us than to Pastor Eldridge. They both look amused. Lord, I can hear them now. Jay's gonna try to get all in my business, and Trey's gonna mess with me worse than Sonny. But you know what? I don't care. Lunch sounds good, I tell Curtis.
Tomorrow works for you?
Yep.
First time I'll actually look forward to a Monday.
Curtis leans over and kisses my cheek, so close to my lips that I almost wish he would have kissed them.
Later, princess.
I go over to my mom, Trey, and Kayla, and this grin seems stuck on my face.
Ooh, Bree got a boyfriend,
Trey teases. Ooh,
shut up, I say.
But boyfriend? I wouldn't say he's my boyfriend. Yet, I wouldn't have a problem with him having that title. Jesus, my face is starting to hurt from smiling so hard. Jay goes, which in black mama speak could mean a number of things. I just want to know how long that's been going on, and do we need to have a refresher course on the birds and the bees?
Really?
I groan. Yes, ma'am. I'm too young to be a grandma. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Okay, sweet Brown.
We get our usual pew near the back of the sanctuary. Grandma and Granddaddy come up the center aisle together. His silver tie matches her hat. He carries a stack of empty gold plates. It's their Sunday to staff the communion table, which means they gotta go get the crackers and grape juice.
All right now, y'all,
Granddaddy says. He gives Jay a kiss and gets his sugar from me.
Who is this beautiful young lady with y'all today? Grandma and Granddaddy, this is Kayla, my girlfriend,
Trey says.
Kayla, these are my grandparents.
Kayla shakes their hands. Oh, yeah, this is really serious if he's introducing her to our grandparents. Nice meeting you, Mr. and Mrs. Jackson. I've heard a lot about you.
I hope it's all good,
Grandma says.
Of course, Grandma,
Trey says, a little too brightly. He's lying.
We still set for after church, Jada?
Granddaddy asks. Yes, sir, we are.
What's after church?
Trey asks.
We're having a family dinner.
Grandma says. She looks at my mom.
All of us.
Hold up. She's not glaring at Jay. In fact, Grandma has been over here more than a minute and hasn't made one snide remark about her yet. Then, on top of that, my mom is invited to family dinner, as in Grandma considers her part of the family? Oh, God. Somebody's dying. Who's dying? Granddaddy, it's your diabetes, ain't it?
What? Granddaddy says, little bit, I swear you jumped to conclusions so fast you gonna pull a muscle. Ain't nobody dying. We just gonna have dinner. Kayla, you invited too. I gotta tell you, I make some of the best blackberry cobbler you gonna ever have in your life. Bring your appetite now.
See y'all later, Grandma says, and she and Granddaddy walk off. She didn't even ask me and Trey to sit with her today. I turn to my mom. I'm so confused. What's going on? The band begins an upbeat song, and the choir marches down the aisles, swaying their arms and clapping to the beat. We'll talk later, baby, Jay claims. She stands and claps along with them. I still haven't gotten any answers when we pull into my grandparents' driveway. Grandma and Granddaddy live in that house in the garden. The one that almost looks too nice to be in the hood. It's brick with an iron fence surrounding it. There's a second story and an expanded den that my grandparents added back when my dad was a kid. Grandma keeps the front yard looking nice. They've got a small fountain for birds and enough flowers to give a botanical garden a run for its money. I can't help the feeling of deja vu that hits me. Jay once pulled into this driveway and left me and Trey here when things got tough. They're not nearly as tough now, but I'm not sure I like this. What's going on? I ask. Jay puts her Jeep in park. It's just me and her. Trey and Kayla went to the store in his car. Grandma asked him to pick up some buttermilk and cornmeal for the cornbread. Like your grandparents said, we're going to have dinner and talk about some things. What kind of things? It's good stuff, I promise. I nod. I hate that 5-year-old is still inside of me, and I hate that she's freaking out right now. I mean, I know my mom isn't about to leave me here again, but that fear, it's deep. But it's there, like it's part of my DNA. Jay stares at the house, lightly tapping the steering wheel. Every time I pull in this driveway, I can't help but think about the day I left you and Trey here. I don't think I've ever gotten your screams for me out of my ears. I didn't know that. Really? Yeah, she says softly. Hardest day of my life. Even harder than the day we lost your daddy. I couldn't control his death. No decision I made could have changed that. But I decided to do drugs. I decided to bring you and Trey here. I knew that the moment I pulled out of this driveway, it would change everything. Knew it. Did it anyway. I can't find any words. Jay takes a deep breath. I know I've told you a million times, but I'm sorry, baby. I always regret putting you through that. I'm sorry that you still have nightmares about it. I look at her. What? You talk in your sleep, Bree. That's why I check on you so much at night. It's the secret I planned to die with, I swear. I never even wanted her to know that I remember that day. I blink fast. I didn't mean for you to find... Hey. She lifts my chin. It's okay. I also know that it's hard for you to trust that I won't end up on drugs again. I get it. But I hope you know that every single day, my goal is to be here for you. I knew it was a daily fight for her to stay clean. I just didn't realize I was the reason she fights. We're quiet for a while. My mom strokes my cheek. I love you, she says. There's a lot I don't know and may never know. I don't know why she chose drugs over me and Trey. I don't know if 5-year-old Bree will ever stop being afraid. I don't know if Jay'll stay clean for the rest of her life. But I know that she loves me. I love you too, Mom. One word, one syllable. All of my life it's been synonymous with Jay, but for years it hasn't been easy to say. I guess I gotta work on it. Like I've gotta work on trusting that I won't lose her again. Her eyes glisten. She must have noticed that I rarely call her that too. She frames my face and kisses my forehead. Come on, let's go inside and pray your grandma hasn't decided to slip some poison on my plate. Granddaddy lets us in. I don't think my grandparents have changed anything in their house since Trey and I moved out. There's a painting of President Obama on the living room wall, the only president, according to Granddaddy, right between Dr. King and a portrait of my grandparents on their wedding day. There's this portrait of Grandma in a feathered boa and a diamond bracelet. I've never asked and don't want to know. Next to it, there's a painting of a much younger granddaddy in his Navy uniform. There are pictures of me, Dad, and Trey all over the house. Wallet-sized photos of my grandparents' nieces and nephews line the shelf in the hallway, along with the little baby Jesus and praying hand statues that Grandma collects. Granddaddy goes to the backyard to work on this old pickup truck he's been restoring since I was a kid. Grandma's in the kitchen. She's changed into one of her favorite muumuus and already has a couple of pots and pans on the stovetop. You need help with anything, Mrs. Jackson? Mom asks. Yeah, hand me that seasoning salt out the cabinet. You think you can get them greens going for me? Who is this alien, and what has it done with my grandmother? See, Grandma never lets anyone cook in her kitchen. Never. For her to let my mom help out with dinner? This is the goddamn Twilight Zone, I swear it is. Meanwhile, I'm only allowed to sit and watch. Grandma says I ain't got a lick of patience. Therefore, I ain't touching one pot or pan in her kitchen. Trey and Kayla show up. Trey goes out back to help Granddaddy. I honestly don't think they do a thing to that truck. They just go out there to talk about stuff they don't want us to hear. Kayla asks if she can help with dinner. Grandma gives her this sugary sweet smile and says, "That's all right, baby. Just sit your pretty self down." Translation: Girl, I don't know you well enough to let you in my kitchen like that. Grandma tells Kayla all about her recipes, though. It only takes Kayla saying, "This already smells divine, Mrs. Jackson." And Grandma's head practically doubles in size. When she starts telling Kayla how to make cornbread, that's when I slip out. Nothing makes me hungrier than people talking about food, and my stomach is already growling like it belongs in a cage. I go upstairs. Whenever I spend holidays with my grandparents, I stay in my old bedroom. Just like the house, my room hasn't changed at all. I think Grandma expected me to come back someday, and for things to be the way they used to be, right down to me being the Tweety Bird-loving 11-year-old who cried when she had to leave. I throw myself onto the bed. It's always weird being here, can't lie. It's like stepping into a time machine or something. Not just because of the Tweety Shrine, but all of the memories made in this room. Sunny, Malik, and I spent so much time in here. It's where Trey introduced me to Uno. Granddaddy played dolls with me in here. My mom isn't part of any of those memories, though. There's a knock at the door, and my mom peeks in. Trey's behind her. Hey, okay if we come in? She asks. I sit up. Yeah, sure.
I ain't gotta ask to come in this room,
Trey says, and lets himself in. Then he has the nerve to plop onto my bed. Excuse you, this is still my room.
Wow,
my mom says, looking around. Tweety, huh? She's never been in here before. Back when she only had me and Trey on weekends, she'd only get as far as the driveway. Grandma wouldn't let her come inside. Mom moves around my room. She picks up one of my stuffed Tweety birds. I hadn't realized I hadn't been in here before.
Wait, I take that back. I was definitely in here when it was your daddy's room. Wait, you saying that you two had sex in the room that ended up being Bree's room?
Trey asks. There goes my appetite.
Ew!
Trey, stop, says Mom. They probably changed the bed.
Oh my God, she just confirmed that they did have sex in here.
Trey falls onto the bed, screaming, laughing.
Bree got the sex room.
I punch him.
Shut up!
Cut it out, y'all, says Mom. I need to talk to you about something.
Hold up, first things first, Trey says, sitting up. What's up with you and Grandma?
What you mean?
Y'all been here, what?
Trey glances at his watch.
An hour now, and nobody's argued yet. I haven't even heard any snide remarks.
Fact. I say, y'all have been lacking shade like a sunny day. Oh, God, I sound like Granddaddy. Your grandmother and I had a discussion. Jay, Mom claims. That's all.
That's all? Says Trey. Any discussion between you two is monumental. When did this happen?
The other day, Jay says. We talked for a few hours. Hashed out a lot of things, even stuff from way back when.
Did Jesus moderate it? I ask, cause that's the only way I see this working.
Trey goes, ha!
Mom kisses her teeth. Anyway, I'm not gonna act like we're best friends, hell no. That woman still knows how to work my nerves. But we realized that we love you two and want what's best for you. We're willing to set our differences aside in the name of that. Trey picks up his phone.
Ah, that explains it. I just got a notification that it's below zero in hell.
I snort. Whatever, boy, says Mom. We also came to a decision. Your grandparents offered that all three of us stay here until we get on our feet. I accepted.
Whoa, really?
I say.
Hold up, hold up,
Trey says. We're moving in here?
Wow, for once I'm finding out when he finds out.
Look, something may or may not come from my interview with Dr. Cook, but either way, this will take some pressure off, Mom says. I told your grandparents I'd help with household expenses, but this would mean a lot less bills to worry about. Besides, we've been trying to play catch-up on rent so long that it's almost impossible to catch up at this point.
But I've got us,
Trey claims. I've got us, she says. I appreciate all you're doing to keep us afloat, baby. I really do. But this is honestly for the best. This way, I can go back to school and finish up. Once I do get a job, I can save up for a place. It also means you can go to grad school. He immediately shakes his head.
No, absolutely not.
Why not? I ask.
The school is 3 hours away, Bree.
If this is about Kayla, if she really cares about you, she'll be fine with that, baby. Mom says, heck, she better be.
It's not just her. I can't leave you in little bit.
Why not? Mom asks.
Because.
Because you think you have to take care of us. Mom finishes for him. And you don't.
The only person you have to take care of is yourself. Trey slowly lets out a breath.
I don't know about this.